Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. You may follow along in your pew Bible or on the screen. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kim and Lynn. We have two liturgists this morning. Tammy forgot that we were having just the one service and sent it to both of them, so they split duties this morning, and we appreciate them doing that for us today. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. When a couple finds out that they are expecting a baby, one of the first things they begin doing is selecting names. You may remember going through that process of selecting baby names, and there are many ways that couples go about doing that. Sometimes it may be a family name, so you may end up with a junior or a second or a third in the family. In some parts of the South especially, the surnames are popular as names for babies. Especially, I've noticed that when I was in South Carolina, they would use surnames for girls' names quite often, which I thought was rather odd. But sometimes it might be the middle name, and they would call the child by both names. And so you had the first name, the surname from usually the mother's family, and then her surname. You might name a child after a friend or a non-relative that has a special relationship to you. Or the name might be after a place or some place or something that you like. Here we go with this microphone. For instance, Peekaboo Street. Did you know that her name comes from an area that her parents liked? She was called Baby Girl until she was age 3. And then finally, the parents landed on the name Peekaboo Street in an area that they were living in at the time that they liked. And of course, it's not spelled peekaboo like we think of peekaboo, but it's P-I-C-A-B-O, I think is how it's spelled. But that's how she got her name, Peekaboo Street. You may also know that there are some names that are also crazy like that. For instance, Frank Zappa has a daughter named, Moon Unit? Moon Unit Zappa. How would you like to go through life with a name like Moon Unit? Wouldn't that be lovely? Yeah, it's quite funny, isn't it? And then you have that annual list of most popular names. The annual list of the most popular names. For instance, in 2022, the 5 most popular names in order for girls were Olivia, Emma, Amelia, Ava, and Sophia. And notice all of these are older names, aren't they? They're not the kind of catchy names that were popular several years ago, but they're older names. And then for boys, the most popular names for 2022 are Liam, Noah, Oliver, Elijah, and Mateo. So again, older names that have become popular once again. It's interesting that some names become what we call aptronyms. Aptronyms, A-P-T-R-O-N-Y-M-S. And those are names that are reflective of the person, especially their occupation. Now, of course, when a parent gave the child the name, they had no idea what that child might do when they grew up. So people might wonder, did the name kind of influence the child's decision as they became an adult, or is it just by circumstance that that happened? For instance, there is the Lord Walter Russell Brain, who is the late British neurologist, a chef, Tom Kitchen, Amy Fries, who is a meteorologist, and Scott Speed, who is a race car driver. Those are real names of real people, and those are their real occupations. We don't have a list of popular names for babies during Jesus' time, but it's likely that the name of Jesus, or its origin, Joshua, would have been among them. It was a popular name. There would have been other Jesuses running around playing in the dirt and throwing rocks and maybe becoming carpenters just like he did. But it's hard for us to imagine there being other Jesuses, doesn't there? Names in biblical time were given largely because of special meaning. And quite often we read in Scripture that names actually were changed when significant events took place in a person's life. Sometimes it was because of something occurring during the pregnancy or at the birth. For instance, Isaac means laughter, and he was given that name because Sarah laughed when she heard that she was going to be expecting a baby in her old age. Jacob means supplanter or grabber. And he was given that name because he was holding on to Esau's heel, the twin Esau, when he was born. He also then lived into that name when he grabbed Esau's birthright and his inheritance, which would have been rightfully his as the firstborn. Other names were symbolic of something yet to be, kind of like our modern-day aptronyms. For instance, Abraham means father of a multitude. And there was that promise that he would be the father of a great nation. And then there is the name Jesus. Jesus. On the 8th day after he was born, 2 important things happened in the life of Mary and Joseph's son, as we read today in Scripture. First, as was custom, as being a part of the covenant community, he was circumcised. In what every Christian needs to know about the Jewishness of Jesus, Evan Moffick reminds us of the importance of this covenantal act writing. Male circumcision is a critical marker of Jewish identity. The practice began when Abraham circumcised Isaac on the eighth day of his life. Circumcision symbolizes the covenant, the sacred relationship between God and the Jewish people. It represents the promises God made to Abraham and Abraham to God. Circumcision almost always happens on the eighth day of a child's life. Even though the Torah does not explain the reason, later Jewish sages suggest the importance of the number 8. 8 is 7 plus 1. 7 represents the natural world, which is created in 7 days, and 1 represents the one God who created the world. Thus, 7 plus 1, 8, symbolizes the unity of the spiritual and physical worlds. And so on that eighth day, this was customary for all male Jews to be circumcised, and Jesus, being one, was as well. But then he was also officially given his name. He didn't have to wait 3 years like Peekaboo Street, but he did have to wait 8 days. And so on that eighth day, he received his name officially as Jesus. It was the name that the angel had given Mary when he told her that she would be expecting the child of God. It was the name that the angel had also told Joseph that Jesus should be given. When the angel came to Joseph in a dream to keep Joseph from divorcing Mary when he found out she was pregnant before they were married. It was a name that this child, like the brain surgeon and the meteorologist, a name that this child would live into, but also a name that he would die for. Jesus is the English pronunciation of the Greek Jesus, which is the same as the Hebrew name Yeshua. Yeshua, a shortened version of Yehoshua, which translates to Joshua in English. In praying the names of Jesus, Ann Spangler gives us insight into the name Joshua and Jesus writing. The name Joshua is the oldest name containing Yahweh, the covenant name of God, a name so sacred it was considered too holy to pronounce. Both Jesus and Joshua mean Yahweh is help or Yahweh is salvation. Yeshua is also related to the word Yeshua, Yeshua, which means salvation. So in his name, in this one named Jesus, God would save. God would save in this child Jesus. And his name reflected that. Some 33 days later, Simeon confirmed that as Jesus was brought to the temple for his dedication and purification, as he says, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. I have seen your salvation. Simeon recognized in this child, because of his name Jesus, but also because of the air about him, the authority that always already existed over him, that this child was indeed God's salvation in the flesh for all people. Indeed, he would save not only the people of Israel, but all of the world. And we read in John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He came that the world might be saved through him. This salvation was not what the Jews living under Roman occupation had been hoping for, however. He was not the mighty warrior that was coming to do battle to free Jews from oppression. He was not the earthly king forming alliances much like Solomon had in his day, that would bring us a semblance of peace and power. The salvation that Jesus was bringing was different than anything anyone had ever experienced. It was life. Life itself. The name Jesus. What does that name Jesus mean to you? When you utter the name of Jesus, when it rolls off of your tongue, what do you feel when you say the name of Jesus? When you hear others utter the name of Jesus, what images does it come bring to your mind? What feelings in your heart? There is much we can talk about with the name of Jesus, but I want to mention three things this morning for us. First of all, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. When we pray, we often end our prayers with the saying, "In the name of Jesus, amen." Amen means so be it. But we end our prayers that way because we firmly believe that when we pray and we say that prayer in the name of Jesus, that the power of Jesus will be working through our prayers to bring about hope and peace and love and healing for those that we have lifted in prayer. Colossians 3:17 tells us that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we are to do in the name of Jesus. We are to do it in the name of Jesus, whether we're speaking or whether we are doing something in action. Why? Because, as I've mentioned before, Jesus told his disciples they would do even greater things than he had done. And we see that immediately after the disciples have received the Holy Spirit in Acts, when in chapter 3, Peter heals a crippled beggar in the name of Jesus. He had not been able to heal before. In fact, before they were asked to do something and they were unable to do it. But now, here, after he has received the power of the Holy Spirit and he goes to this crippled beggar, in the name of Jesus, he is able to heal this man. And so it reminds us that we are conduits of Jesus' power. Much like the cord that goes from the wall to our device is the conduit of the electricity that enables that device to work, we become the conduit of Jesus' power when we call upon the name of Jesus. And so the name of Jesus has power. Have you ever experienced that power yourself working through you? Have you experienced being that conduit of God working in and through you? Sometimes we don't know. Quite often we're not aware of it until years later when someone might come along and say to us that something or remind us of something that we may have done or said that brought healing to them, that brought hope to them, that gave them encouragement. But when we do those things in the name of Jesus, when we as a church do things, we say things, we go out in the community in the name of Jesus and serve, then we become that conduit of God's power in the world. So there is power in the name of Jesus. There is also comfort and peace in the name of Jesus. You may have witnessed yourself many times when someone, especially someone who is terminal or someone who is very sick, will just quietly utter the name of Jesus. And they do that because it brings comfort to their soul. It brings peace to them as they say that name. You may be familiar with the song, "Give Me Jesus." One of my favorite versions of it is Fernando Ortega. And it's the words of it are, "In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus." In its History of Hymns blog, umcdiscipleship.org links the version we know today of this song to an early slave song. to an early slave song. None of us here this morning can imagine what that life was like. We read about it, we see movies and we see documentaries, and we are horrified at what we witness and read, but none of us have been there. But to imagine that this song came from those who had everything stripped away from them, their homeland, their family, their dignity, and they say, "Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Give me Jesus." They say that because it gives them comfort and peace. There's nothing else in this world that matters as long as I have Jesus. The name of Jesus gives us comfort and peace. I know in a period of my life where I was going through a time of discernment, something I was desperately wanting in my life, but at the same time it was kind of out of reach, or at least I had to stay out of the way. This became my prayer. And every night before I would go to bed, I would light a candle on my altar in my home, and I would play this song in the background and just pray this prayer. That if I didn't have that, that was okay. That Jesus was enough. That Jesus was enough. And today the same is true. If I didn't have anything else in the world, if none of us had anything else in the world, Jesus would be enough. The name of Jesus brings comfort and peace when peace cannot be found elsewhere. And then there is also joy in the name of Jesus. One of the choruses that we sang early this morning, "There's within my heart a melody," is the song. And I can remember hearing my grandmother singing that as she's working in the kitchen. I get my love for the kitchen from my grandmother. And she would be standing at the sink washing dishes. I'm sorry, that's not the joyful part of working in the kitchen for me. But she would be standing at the sink washing dishes, and I could hear her singing, "There's within my heart a melody." And then she'd get to that chorus, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know." And I could just hear the joy in her voice as she sang. The name Jesus brought her joy. And later, when she lost her eyesight, and she would sometimes just break out praying, she literally would just break out praying, that name Jesus gave her joy, even then when she could not see, because she knew that even then he was with her. Paul, I've mentioned several times that in Philippians, talks about joy several times in that four-chapter letter. Paul writing that while he was imprisoned. He says in the third chapter, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." His joy, even while he was in prison, his joy came from his service to Jesus Christ, from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, from having that name of Jesus on his lips and calling upon that name when I'm sure he himself was distressed. The name of Jesus also has joy for those that speak it. What does the name of Jesus mean for you? That name means something different for each of us because we have a different relationship with Jesus, each and every one of us. And that meaning of that name will change as our life experiences change. Sometimes it may be comfort. Sometimes it may be joy. Sometimes it may be power. Sometimes it may be hope. Sometimes it may just be friend. But always, always the name of Jesus is salvation. Salvation in this life, but also salvation in the life to come. And so today we hear the name of Jesus as it was given to him on that eighth day, this eighth day from Christmas. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, there is no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. All of the names that we have heard in our lifetime, our family names, the names of our friends, even those sometimes odd names that make us snicker. There is no greater name than Jesus. And if that's the only name we know, that's all we need. If Jesus is all we have, that's all we need. Lord, we thank you for the power that is in that name, for the comfort and peace it gives us when we hear it, when we call upon it, and for the joy that it fills our hearts with. Lord, today may we take this name of Jesus with us, that precious name, and share it to the world so that they too may know his power, his comfort and peace, his joy, salvation. Amen.